This is a replay of the Tuesday night, September 23rd WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, you know the deal. It's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings. And unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together tonight, I do believe. Of course, the rapture might interrupt that. If you haven't heard the news, and actually I hadn't this go around, John came back from the dentist yesterday to say the rapture's happening tomorrow. I just wanted to know how your teeth were doing. All right, but yes, his dentist told him that the rapture was in fact happening tomorrow. And so tomorrow would be today, by the way. This is not entirely unknown to me, because it's not the first time some wacko preacher has declared that they know the hour and the time. That, by the way, in and of itself is anti-biblical, but we won't start quoting. All right. Instead, that's right, we'll talk about a South African pastor, Reverend Mumbo Jumbo. That's not really his name, but it's as close as I'm going to get. Saying, and actually we're not totally out of the woods yet either, because he says the second coming of Jesus would happen either on September 23rd or the 24th, based on revelations directly from Jesus. That's right. Yes, we talk to the Lord, but in the case of this pastor, he talks back. And he said the rapture is upon us, and he took to YouTube about a month ago to let us know. He said, whether you're ready or not, the rapture is 14 days from now. Well, now we're 14 days later, and I think we're still here, but then again, I don't know, maybe not. That's right, maybe I'm talking to myself. The deal is that a number of people bought into this. And as I say, this is not the first time. If you're old enough to remember 1987, that was one of the big predictions. And by the way, not only... Harold Camping got in the action as well, saying the rapture would come on September 6th, 1994. Pretty sure that this was the second time, because I thought Camping was behind the 87 prediction. The only reason I remember the rapture coming in 87 was that I literally had a friend, who I literally believed was serious as a heart attack when he let me know that he couldn't have his house repainted because the rapture was coming. He literally put it off. He had it painted later, obviously. But for Harold Camping, whether or not I'm right of him being the harbinger of doom in 1987, he absolutely was in 1994, and that pretty much cost him his franchise, so to speak. Yeah, September 6th was going to be, for sure. When that didn't happen, and when it was on the air September 7th, September 29th is going to be sure. And then later, October 2nd is going to be sure. He didn't give up. Yeah, a decade later in 2005, he said Jesus would return on May 21st, 2011. It would lead to the rapture and 5 months of hell on earth until the final destruction of the world on October 21st, 2005. Who knew we've been gone almost 20 years? He not only said this, but after multiple failed predictions, he spent millions on billboards and also put the word on the sides of 20 RVs. So where'd the money come from? That's the not funny part. That's the sad part. Came from followers who quit their jobs and sold everything they had and gave the money to camping. Well, May 21st came and went. So he revived his estimate once again, saying there had been a spiritual judgment that day and the actual rapture would happen on October 21st. All right. So wait a minute. That's exactly when he said it would happen before. Well, when it didn't, that was pretty much the end of things. But I'm pretty sure he was the one in 87. And whoever it was, him or somebody else, the guy predicted for sure it was going to happen not only in 1987, but on Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. So it did not occur. And as far as I know, it hasn't occurred now either. I'm not 100% sure how the South African pastor, Joshua Mumbo Jumbo or whatever his name is going to come back from this claim. But what I do know is we still have another day because it could be September 24th. Yeah. So what I really don't get is the number of biblical scholars who can point out more than one admonition about not knowing the day or the time, but that doesn't stop a number of people from doing this or a number of followers from believing it. All right, so there you have the rapture, and yeah, or not, as the case may be. So we're going to get to Pat in Harwood Heights, and we've got Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina, and we've got a number of other stories as well, not rapture-related. I should say, by the way, while I'm mentioning religious observances, there were 180,000 bikers gathered for the blessing of the helmet in Portugal. That's the deal. Thousands of riders over the weekend gaining that added bit of protection. It's the 10th annual pilgrimage to the Sanctuary of Fatima's Blessing. That's the deal. You've heard about that. So 180,000 this year, according to the Independent, all seeking spiritual protection from the Virgin Mary. And priests walks among the leather-clad attendees, sprinkling holy water on their helmets. And that was the deal. And they many of them were interviewed, and one of them, Manuel Santos, said, "We make the pilgrimage every year because we have faith that she's always watching us. And who knows, she may be. There's no reason to doubt it. Bottom line is, even if you don't believe it, there's no harm in being in the good graces of the Holy Virgin, in case it's true. So apparently motorcyclists have reason to worry. 9,900 motorcycle-related casualties in Portugal last year. That's almost 10,000 people. All right. They're saying casualties, so I looked a little deeper. Okay, fortunately, only 120 resulted in death. So I assume by motorcycle casualties, they're just referring to motorcycle accidents. Yeah, only 120 dead. And that compares, by the way, with the UK, 343 deaths and 15,952 accidents. So, yeah. Motorcyclists are definitely exposed on the open road, so take all the help you can get. So there you have it. Yeah, don't you feel better already? So as I say, we'll get back to Pat and Chris and a number of other stories coming up. 888-876-5593 if you want to join us. But right now I want to mention the CC Skywave Radio 2 from the Sea Crane Company. This is a terrific radio. It's an exceptional solution to ensure preparedness for unexpected extreme weather conditions that lead to what? Power outages. And you know what that's like. Power's out, and what do you want to know? You want to know, where's the radio, where's the flashlight? And the beauty of this is that you will get both in the CC Skywave 2. A distinctive alarm alerting to you when NOAA issue warnings are given, and advance notice of potential problems is never bad. Like all the radios that Bob Crane developed, you get superior reception, AM and FM, and in the case of the CC Skywave Radio 2, shortwave as well. And thanks to its enhanced capabilities amid high solar activity, you can get the benefits of exceptional reception on shortwave, don't you know? Yeah, so add that to great AM and FM. By the way, it's ideal for travel because the CC Skywave 2 includes coverage of the aviation band, allowing you to listen to nearby pilots and air traffic controllers, where it's legal, that is. Yeah, I'll leave it to you whether you're going to use that. But it's beautiful because it makes a great pocket-sized travel companion. And you can go to ccradio.com anytime and look at the CC Skywave Radio 2. I think you're going to like it. I'd say this is a good time to do that because, from what I've been told, the price is going to rise on this. So if you want it at the current low price, go to ccradio.com or give them a call, 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. Great customer service 24 hours a day. They'll answer all your questions. You can order by phone. But if you can go online, take a look at it. The CC Skywave Radio 2 from the Sea Crane Company. You tell them Raleigh sent you. Be prepared. Stay connected on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. The Dramatics, In the Rain. Karen in Chicago wanted to hear that. 1972 on Volt. The Dramatics were an interesting group. They were originally on Ed Wingate's label, a division of Golden World. And what was fascinating about this is that they screwed up the label on the first pressing and released it as the Dynamics. Yeah. Somewhat of a problem, but nonetheless, they quickly became the Dramatics and released a number of things, but it was when they went to Stax in 1971 that life took off for them with What You See Is What You Get and In the Rain, which we're playing, and Hey You, Get Off My Mountain. And we're talking about 20 albums after they went to Stax between 1972 and 2002, that one in 74 with the Dells. And in addition to Volt, then they were on ABC and then MCA and Capital and Fantasy. So, all right, that's the Dramatics, and hopefully Karen heard it. So now, Pat, in Harwood Heights, welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, thank you. How are you, sister?
I can't complain. How about yourself?
Yeah, I can't either. I could, but
you're
you
right.
Know what?
Yeah,
what?
Nobody would care.
It's life. It's life. I know. I know that with your radio career, you said you had to be willing to move because you loved radio. So you've lived in a lot of places.
32 cities.
Wow. I'm Saturday, my wife and I.
Yeah?
We're moving from Cook County. We're right on the edge of Northwest Chicago.
Okay.
We're moving to north of Houston.
Oh, like Conroe or where?
It's Magnolia. It's
okay.
Right on the edge of something they call the Woodlands.
Of course it is.
It's supposed to be pretty nice. I've never been there. But.
Well, the only thing I'll warn you, the humidity is horrendous. Now, if you're going in like late fall, you won't really experience what's going to go wrong until mid-spring. But if you want liquid oxygen, you're going to get it there. Other than humidity, it's wonderful. But the humidity is really heart-stopping if you're not expecting it.
Because it's so close to the ocean?
Well, no. From the entire Gulf region, you know, from Naples, Florida, on to Harlingen, Texas, all of that is just humid as hell. So, you know, like Biloxi, New Orleans, Mobile, Pensacola, Tampa, these are just horrifyingly humid places. Now, if you don't mind humidity, then, hey, they're great. I guess
I'm going to have to get used to it.
Yes, you are. And I know where Magnolia is exactly. It's named after the magnolia trees that are right there. And it's fairly small. I think that it was originally Mink Prairie. And then, I kid you not, and then they changed it. But other than the humidity, you're going to be very happy in winter when you're hearing about your friends and buddies at Cook County who are shoveling snow. You're going to be able to say, ha on you, except they'll remember to say it to you in July.
I gave a snowblower and several snow shovels to my friends and neighbors because I'm not going to need them.
No, you're not. Now, everything you're going to encounter there, and of course, you know, it's suburban or exurban, depending on how you look at it, Houston. But in Magnolia itself, you know, 50 years ago, there were only about 300 people there. And so now there's over 5,000. So everything's relatively new.
My understanding is population-wise, even though it's a small town, it's exploded.
Well, sure, it went from 300 to 5,300, so that'll, and, you know, again, that's 50 years, but even so, and so that's the deal. So it's incorporated, so you are dealing with local government, and so you don't have to worry about being annexed. It's already incorporated. And so that's the deal. And, you might love it. Why did you pick it?
Because we have two sons, 31, 32.
Uh-huh.
The youngest one moved to Orlando.
Uh-huh.
And he hated it.
I don't blame him.
And then he moved over towards a friend of his that he knew, and he had a beautiful apartment and a nice complex in Magnolia.
Okay.
So he actually swapped apartments and went to a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Enough room for us.
Okay.
And we're gonna my wife and I are gonna stay with him for a year.
All right. And then you'll know. That's a great,
and then, you know,
great plan. You'll decide after that if you like it and want to stay or go somewhere else. But Houston's huge, and it will have everything you've ever wanted, including good health care. So, and as we get older, we care about that. When are you moving?
We're leaving Saturday morning.
All right. Call me when you get there. Tell me how the trip was, and I'm going to look forward to it. Cool. All right. Gonna hit the news right now. Well, here, hang on a minute. Don't go away. I'll break for the news, and then we'll talk to Pat again. And I can't wait to hear about the trip coming up on WGN Radio.
Run.
James, and that was Karen from Chicago's other request, Skeeter Davis. Yeah, that was a Goffin King composition, 1963 on RCA. And I think at the time she was married to Ralph Emery, who might have still been on WMAK, probably playing that. Not surprising. All right, so back to Pat in Harwood Heights is making the drive to Houston this weekend. All right. So
that was very cool bumper.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it was a hit, actually, believe it or not. A pretty big one for her. The biggest pop hit, I think. In any event, so you've got your route planned, you're driving, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. No, that'll be simple. Yeah. You know what? I think I've heard smartphones, too.
Well, that's probably true. Yeah. I know my
mom. No more paper maps.
Right. Yes, the Atlas. Right. I still have them all over the place. But yeah, when I developed that hobby of driving the U.S. interstate system, I used to say I've completed it, which is more than the government's come close to doing. And back then, that was really true. But there were no, you know, there were no cell phones. There were nothing. And when you were on like the Sunshine State Parkway, which is now Florida's Turnpike, you didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. When you stopped, you were at a hot shop. Period. You know, just like on the New Jersey Turnpike, you were at Howard Johnson's or else. And so it's the only difference is I used to love driving the interstates because I loved looking out at the country and, you know, I could see a Stuckey's.
Oh, sure.
Well, not anymore. All you're going to see is trees.
Yeah.
That's the horrible part. It's just nonstop tree. I have nothing against trees, but I do not want to see them that's why I like driving in the West now, because, you know, they can't do that in the desert. They can't put up that many trees. But boy, from Chicago to Houston, it will be all trees all the time.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, one question and then a comment, please.
Okay. Sure. I'm ready.
How are you able to play all these songs full length? Does it cost you a fortune? Because I'm a talk radio addict.
Well,
in most,
you know, I mean,
the 30-second rule.
There's really no such thing as that. I don't think they want you to play too much more than that. But God love WGN, they don't complain. But I'm sure they pay the music rights, and I'm sure it costs them. Now on the stations, the stations I own, of course, I have to pay music rights at the Yin Yang. So that's a different thing, and the stream is coming from one of those. So consequently, I'm covered. But I don't know. Talk stations get a break on the royalty rates. That's for sure. But even so, yeah.
I always thought that they had to cut it off at 29 seconds or they would.
I think there's a little more play than that. But I don't know.
No
one's complained to me, so I just go about. You know, I don't play the whole thing. I will say that. I only play part of it, but maybe too much of it. But as you've determined when you listen to the show, I can't tell time. That's why Bob is in master control. He'll cut me off every break. Otherwise, there probably would be no break. So I have no problem with that. So
I love your show. I love your show.
Well,
listen for a long time.
Well, thank you. Thank
my smart speaker. My smart speaker is disconnected and ready to pack.
Okay. So now, Houston to Chicago, what I want to know, you're not going to drive 1,000 miles in a row. So where are you going to stop?
It's up to how tired my wife gets.
Oh, okay. All right. So you'll just kind of play it by ear.
Right. Yeah, we thought we would try and do it in a day, but it's just too much.
No, absolutely. Yeah, 1,000 miles in a day, that would be an easy 16 hours. And not that I haven't done it, but I'll never do it again. You know, but you're passing through a lot of interesting things. So you could stop at a lot of places. Maybe Memphis.
I just look forward to driving away and, you know.
Yeah.
Forget about the past and move on, you know?
Absolutely. So after you get there and get settled, I want you to call me and tell me how it's going.
No, I definitely will have you back on my smart speaker, and I'll be calling.
I'm counting on it. Well, have a good trip.
One last comment.
Yeah.
I loved your monologue.
Oh,
and you were making me laugh.
Yeah, tonight. Yeah, right, exactly. Gosh, we're still here. It's supposed to be the rapture.
Oh, you know, Remember all the TV evangelists on TV that were so popular?
Oh, I knew about every one of them. I even drew hot clocks for them because I could predict at what moment they were going to beg.
What a scam.
Oh, of course. And, you know, one was worse than the next. Believed it. Yes. Believed it. Did you have a favorite?
Oh, God. God, no.
Oh, no, I really did. I watched them all. Roosevelt Franklin and his wife Delano were in the Prosperity Hour and God's Blessing Plan. That was pretty good. Robert Tilton, of course, was very interesting. And there were so many. But, yes, Creflo Dollar. Oh, I could go on and on.
The Bakers. And
oh, well, yeah, that's child's play. You know, Jim and Tammy Faye, right? Or of course, Trinity. Yes, and that's where Tammy Faye got her makeup tips, by the way, from Jan Crouch on Trinity, the only woman I know whose hair color matched the set. It was sort of a lavender. And then, of course, don't start me on the 700 Club. But no, there's hundreds of others.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When my grandmother on my father's side died, she was very religious Catholic. When my dad started cleaning out the house, oh, my God. She had a desk just full of thank you cards and trinkets from these religious things that she donated to.
Oh, God.
You know,
if you're Catholic, Eternal World, EWTN. Yeah, John recently asked for some Kansas bag to carry things. He said, I'll take this one. I said, you are not carrying Eternal World television through this room. And so, I've got them all.
All right. I will let you go.
Good trip.
It was so nice to talk.
Likewise.
So nice to talk to you.
Thanks.
Again.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate the call. All right.
Take
care. That's exciting. New chapter. Well, until he hits that humidity, we'll see how he does. But it's a little less right now. But oh, I'll tell you what. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh, but now from Chicago to Houston, there's a ton of stops, including a lot of casinos, just the Margaritaville and many more. So he'll have plenty to see, other than the unrelenting trees, nonstop, just horrible. All right, so we will get to Chris in Greenwood, see what's on his mind tonight, but. God love Bob. Bob is screening he's actually keeping me in line at Master Control, which is hard to do. But he sends me just the most magnificent links. And sometimes it's just the headline in itself. Really, it's all you got to say. The U.S. is blocking Iranian diplomats in the U.S. from shopping at Costco. Okay, we'll be reading that coming up on WGN Radio.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more. And I never knew. And I think to myself,
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and thank God for the movie Good Morning Vietnam, or We in America Might Have Never Heard That Song. It was recorded in 1967 on ABC, and of course it was a hit in the UK and other places. It didn't have a shot in America because of Larry Newton. Larry was the president of ABC Records at the time, and he hated it. And so he actively refused to promote it. In fact, better than that, he tried to stop the recording, and the producer threw him out of the studio when it was being recorded. Yeah, so what was the deal with this bigot? Well, he wanted up-tempo things like Hello, Dolly. He didn't want any slow ballads. He was horrified when he heard it, don't you know? And so, as I say, it became a hit in the UK. And after Good Morning Vietnam, 20 years later, it became a classic here. But yeah, Larry did everything he could to stop it in his illustrious career. All right, so 888-876-5593. Oh, did I say it was Ruth who requested that? Ruth and Gurney? Indeed, she did. All right, so Chris in Greenwood, what's happening tonight?
Hey, Raleigh, how's it going?
All right, how about yourself? I'm glad you called because Thursday night at 10 o'clock, Randy West is going to join me. He's the guy who wrote the TV book I was mentioning, so you'll have to listen and call.
Yes, I did, but first and foremost, I want to say I'm happy right now.
Yeah, why?
Because Kimmel is back on ABC as we speak right now.
Well, woo-hoo! We can't discuss that. We stay away from anything political, and that's a hot political topic, so I'm going to just pretend we didn't bring it up. Next.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, we don't do that here. People have opinions on that on both sides of the aisle. The only thing I can guarantee you is it certainly created a lot of publicity for Disney. No doubt about that, and for ABC. Both the same. But other than that, off limits on this show. You can hear it somewhere else.
Yeah, can we move on, please?
Yes, please do. All right, well, please do.
You ever heard of the Penguin Project, the Theater for Disabilities?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had that this past weekend, and our local theater has been dealing with that recently. And those people, they can act good. They can melt your heart away.
Well, sure. In fact, you mentioned that I was hearing earlier that the last Munchkin died from the Wizard of Oz, last one. And I thought, well, there were a lot of Munchkins. There were a lot of people of short stature in that movie, and far too often people, and they were typecasted, granted, but far too often people don't even get the chance.
Yeah, so. Wizard of Oz, they have a bunch of munchkins on there.
Yep, absolutely. They sure did, and the last one just left us. I think she was 96 years old.
Yeah, you remember a munchkin was in an owl costume back in the day.
Yeah, so don't know much about it.
Oh, in the first season he was.
Okay.
But he died, too.
Well, you know, sadly. Sadly, time takes its toll. Every last one of us, nobody gets out of here alive. But Family Theater, and it's PHAMALY for people who don't know, but Family Theater features actors
with
tons
don't
of disabilities.
Stop believing.
Don't stop?
Yeah. Don't stop believing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, they perform that every rehearsal and every play the Penguin Project does.
Okay. Well, and a worthy choice.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
And they just did the 101 Dalmatians.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw the Sunday show, and I did help when it first came, like in 2017, to Greenwood.
Uh-huh.
I think I volunteered a little bit. It was the play Annie.
Okay.
That they did, Annie Jr. And that was a great one. They did a lot. They did Aristocrat. That name top off my head.
Yep. No, it's a great project because it's shameful that 95% of television characters with disabilities are portrayed by actors and actresses with no disabilities. And so this has been going on for decades, like you say. And you got several, as far as that goes, several places that are very, very big on this. And I think it's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, I've ended the hour. I hate to do this, but the hour is now over. Call me, listen on Thursday and talk to Randy.
Okay, I'll do that.
I'll count on it.
I love you, Raleigh.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the companies that are dedicated to that coming up on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Billy Bob from Bourbonnais had a request, and he wanted to hear, I'm not making this up, Annie Lennox doing that song with Tina Turner. Well, that's nice, except the only version is Annie Lennox doing it with Al Green, so hopefully that's what he had in mind. 1988 on A&M, Put a Little Love in Your Heart. So, yeah. All right, we got Ruth and Gurney. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Ruth, what's up?
Hi, Raleigh, tell me if my call is coming through. It's not sounding as it usually does. I hope it's not breaking up.
Sounds the same to me. Don't worry about it.
As long as you're getting it clear on your end, that's perfect, because this will clear up whatever the interference is. Well, I have a couple of comments. First, Pat, on his way to Texas, he has a wonderful voice. He could be Santa. Santa Claus. All he right. could get phones and let kids call up, and all he has to do is, every time he left, I mean, the first time he did it, I got, that's a Santa, ho, 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 the best I'd ever heard. And then every time he got, I laughed with your conversation, I go, that guy's a perfect Santa Claus. That's all he has to do is do his laugh, and he doesn't have to say anything else. They would think he's really real, the real thing. Uh-huh. So back to, if I get a couple of comments in, I don't know, but one of them I'm going to do is the evangelicals that had come with their comments about what the date was going to be for whatever it is. I had a dream, and it was back in the 80s, and it really scared me. And the interesting thing is that I have a witness, and I'm going to mention this particular circumstance. And I wonder, did Edgar Casey ever give a premonition date on the such time?
No.
That if I'm going to touch anybody, if I were going to listen to that accuracy,
no,
he didn't. Okay. Mm-mm. So I don't think some of these other people can touch Edgar Casey with a 10-foot pole. You know, if he didn't say anything, then it's sealed. It's not going to be revealed as far as the date goes. But this I did know from the dream. Well, first, okay, I'll go with the dream first and then with the conversation after the dream. It's back in the 80s. So there's no moon, no sun, no stars in the sky. Now, back when I was close to 3 years old, a cousin, Lorraine Perfidies, she was reading me Chicken Little, the story. And I told her, don't read that. Don't do that. Stop it. I said, I know what that sky falling is all about. And it was interesting that at that age, I would know something ahead of time. So when I had this dream in the 80s, there's no moon, no sun, no stars, and it's dark, really just completely dark. And I'm being taken in the blink of an eye against my will. In other words, I have no choice, no free will. I'm taken and I'm gone. The crowd was hundreds of people, and I saw persons that I recognized from that time frame in the 1980s in that dream. So I got over it. I got over the dream, as many things happened in my life that I got over. But interestingly enough, when I was at the Round Lake Beach Cultural Center, which, by the way, it was Judy Armstrong that came up to me and said, Rod Brenner, we invited him to this anniversary, 100 year or whatever it was, 75th, and he didn't respond. He had been a mayor. I'd like to know where Rod Brenner is. I haven't had any information on him in the last several years. So another person came up to me and said another comment, Judy Altman, why don't you buy my building? And I thought, interestingly, I would have loved to have opened up a homeless shelter there. I'd been about thinking about that for years and years. But the next time I spoke with who was a chief at a Round Lake Beach location on the grounds of the Cultural Center, and I happened to tell them that it would be in my lifetime that I had seen that the Lord was coming. It would be in my lifetime. And unless it is postponed by some miraculous divine intervention, I have no date, and I don't think anyone does. But I told Gary, and when I knew several of the people that he was associated with, they said, we all feel like we know you. Well, yeah, Gary Bittler, you carried the Gary Go Owen at the Little Bighorn. But the guy with the December 5th birthday date and Scorpio salute Sagittarius, he was walking out of Judy Altman's flower shop with a bouquet of carnations, not roses. That was an incredible song. Isn't Louis Armstrong the voice just really incredibly remarkable? And I just can't get over the powerhouse of that song and those words. Thank you for playing that. Now, one other quick thing, the wheelchair. I am going to ask my sister, who owns Kathy's Salon in Scottsdale. She's from North Scottsdale. I'm going to ask her if she will purchase the wheelchair for $2,000, and I'll do the other $500 from St. Raphael the Archangel, and I might be able to do the whole amount instead of bidding, you know, $500 or any other amount, to actually be able to accomplish getting that motorized wheelchair for the bidding price that they're asking for it. So that's going to be interesting to see if that happens, you know, in a avenue of approach. You told me good luck, and so maybe true. Blessings could be there, and it would be interesting.
All right.
So that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. Okay. So Ruth has spoken. All right, so now the U.S. Blocking Iranian diplomats. This, by the way, is not new. And what I found fascinating is the journalist who said it was not news kind of said that in passing. And I thought, well, when is the first time the United States blocked the movement and actions of an Iranian delegation? That answer, by the way, is 1987. Now, of course, we ended diplomatic ties with Iran in 1980. Yeah, after the whole, big mess. But I'll just leave it at that. But apparently, by 1987, we were confining Iranian delegates to a 25-mile radius around Columbus Circle in New York City. All right, and since then, it's been growing and waning in both directions. But so we've done it before. So now when the news headlines say the Trump administration is blocking Iranian diplomats, yes, and so have others. All right, so what do they block them from? That's my favorite part. Accessing wholesale club stores. Now, I don't know about you, but the first thing in my mind would not be, let's keep them out of Costco. But apparently it is. So this is the Iranian officials who are visiting the UN General Assembly in good old New York City are restricted to areas strictly necessary to transit to and from the headquarters, to their district offices as well, to conduct UN business, and that's it. Now, the reason for this, of course, is we have a lot of sanctions against Iran, as far as that goes, crippling sanctions. And so what the logic is here, that they didn't want to give the elite delegates a chance at something that the rank-and-file citizens no longer are allowed to do. So the deal is there's all sorts of things for whether they can shop at Costco or Sam Club or BJ's. But it's not only that. There's a list, and they have to get permission for any luxury item valued at over $1,000, like watches or leather or things like that. I love this. Cars valued at over $60,000. What, it's okay if you buy them under $60,000? And what they're, the logic again, they say we will not allow the Iranian regime to allow its clerical elites to have a shopping spree while the people of Iran are enduring poverty. All right, so indeed, but I still wonder, who thought of Costco? Yeah, they're saying all the delegates must first obtain approval to have a membership and purchase items at any wholesale club store in the United States, including but not limited to Costco, Sam's Club, BJ's. All right, then. And so that is what they want to do, I guess, is stock the Iranians stop the Iranians from stocking up on, a lifetime supply of Cheerios. All right, so there you have it, 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh. So what do we have here? I believe that Chris in Lancaster, Ohio was joining us. So what's up, Chris?
Hi, Raleigh.
How are you?
I've been meaning to call you just to talk about all sorts of things. And kind of like talking your favorite topic, but John tells me you don't like the name most people associate with it.
What are we talking
about? You said KHJ.
Oh, 93 KHJ. No, it's a funny thing. I understood what Bill Drake was doing. I mean, I lived with a man, so I know what he's doing. But I'm one of the few people alive that didn't care for Boss Radio.
Oh, you didn't care for the format?
No. I understand okay. I understand why it was done. I understand the genius in it, but I had no trouble with the way it was done beforehand. Now, I will also say that the imitators of the format didn't understand the wisdom. They'd go back and say, well, the jocks are limited to talking 10 seconds. That was never true on KHJ. The jocks could talk as long as they wanted, providing they were better than the music they were playing, which, of course, limited that somewhat. But the Morgan and Steele weren't restrained in any way. They just had to be cohesive and concise.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, of course, I have Uncle Ricky to thank for the fact I know anything at all about KHJ.
Oh.
But, yeah, I agree. I know Morgan was your personal friend, but I think the greatest boss jock of all was Steele because he slept and breathed it.
Well, not only that. I mean, there were things I just dearly loved about Don. He was, in some ways, he was so jaded and all that, but in other ways, he was still just a child. And Don loved words, and I've mentioned this before, he loved the sound of them. And, you know, the whole Tina Delgado thing was based on Rose Bimler from good old Chicago, WGN, and of course in San Francisco, too. But the deal is, you didn't want to talk with Steele before he went on the air. Because if you like something you said, like one day he asked me to explain ratings to him. And so, and this was, you know, after Hooper and Pulse. This is now into ARB, which became Arbitron. And so I'm explaining the concept of exclusive cume. Well, wouldn't you know it? It's about 4 in the afternoon, and he's on the air. You and your exclusive cume. I thought, oh, God, help me. And so, yeah, you just wanted to make sure you didn't have too many conversations. But my favorite was one of the books he just did lousy in it. And this was actually, he was no longer there. I don't remember if it was K100, might have been Kareth, but, or KRLA, one of them. But in any event, he got on the air, and this was right when these television PI commercials were out there. And he opened a show with "Help! I've fallen and I can't get up." And and so he was just wonderful that way. He had a childlike innocence, but at the same time, just a jaded side as well. And he was the real deal. And I miss him. I didn't know I would, but I miss him.
Well, we certainly miss his perfection. His perfection, because he. He knew that his job in the afternoon was to keep people who were tired and dragged out excited while they drove home.
No, he was, and Morgan was the same way. They were both very, and because I'm the opposite of it, you know.
I don't mean to slight Morgan.
No. I mean, they both had the same work ethic, and it was the opposite of mine, you know. I've never aspired for good. I've always settled for good enough. And these people were after perfection. You know, like in Morgan's case, he got up at 3 a.m. to start prepping for that show. Like, you out of your mind?
Yeah.
And Steele, man, the intensity that he'd sit there and the intensity he'd have on that show, you know, and here I am saying it's radio, nobody dies. But anyway, their entire self-images depended upon those shows. And, you know, years ago I had a general manager, Jim Hilliard at Fairbanks, and Jim had said to me once, he said, you know, you'd really be a star if your self-image was worse. And so I said, but as it is, you just don't care. I said, no, I actually don't care. You're right. I'm here to have a good time. When it's not a good time, I don't do it anymore. And so, you know, he's like, but you know, because people like Chuck Riley and stuff, you know, they lived for it was a good day. Not that all of Chuck's were, mind you, but you know, they had that feed your self-image with it. And Morgan, I remember him saying at one time, it's a good day, baby. My self-image is up to my knees. And so, okay. So, yeah, that's what fueled their greatness, and they were great. And, yeah, I do miss Steele.
Yes.
By the way, I should mention, as usual, I can't tell time. This is just you and me. WGN's in a commercial break.
Okay, that's fine. Two of my favorite things, well, if I can say three things about Don, because they say...
Yeah.
It's not that Morgan wasn't great. It's just that what could you say about Morgan hasn't already been said. Whereas Steele does kind of get the short shift sometimes. On a weekend check on Uncle Ricky's site, somebody commented that he didn't sound like he was up. And I said, well, that's because it's the weekend and the audience doesn't need the adrenaline.
That wasn't it. Go on. I'll tell you in a minute what you're missing on that. Go on.
Okay. Well, okay. If you agree.
No.
You know better. No.
Here's the deal. All right. I'll spill the beans right now. Everybody's dead. Morgan and Steele both knew that people were flying in to hear the format. When everybody wanted to rip off Boss Radio.
Oh,
so they went out of their way to do bad shows and break formatic rules. Anytime they knew that someone from out of town was going to be in, they'd have at it.
Ah, okay. Well, thank you. We should explain where the clip came from in the first place.
Yeah.
Somebody tried to steal a show. Okay.
Well, so they delighted in doing this.
But one thing I think you will agree with me on, he knew how to sell the absolute squarest record on the playlist.
Oh, yeah. No.
Because that was the one he'd pretend to be gaga over.
Yeah, he was just, I thought he was great. And as far as that goes, both on and off the air, you know, I had a lot of friends who were like, "Well, you get along with him?" I said, "Yeah, actually, I do. I know he's crazy. That's okay. You know, I know his history, but yeah, I thought he was a master."
I think you sum up Don in one sentence, and I'm sure you knowing him better and being a better analyst of broadcasting than this amateur here in Ohio. He knew his job was to be the coolest guy in the room, but never be too cool for the room.
Yeah, that's accurate. That's accurate. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like I say, he was a lot of fun, and I miss him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, fun reminiscing on
absolutely. I'm delighted that you called, and I hope you will again.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right,
bye.
So, Donald Revert, lots of stories. 888-876-5. Why am I giving the phone number? I'm talking to myself on my stream. Well, if you're listening on my stream and you want to call me, you know, that's 8888-Raleigh. But otherwise, we'll reconvene after the news, which undoubtedly is on about now. It's all requests all the time tonight, and that one was for Lisa in Dundee, 1976 on MCA. All right, so 888-876-5593. Laura is in Willowbrook. Laura, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, I talked to you last night, and I forgot to tell you I was celebrating my 66th birthday.
Wow, congratulations, big time.
Yeah.
All right, how did you celebrate?
Well, it was funny because I says, I haven't been to a movie in ages. So I says, I'm going to have to see something on the big screen, okay?
Yeah.
So there's this place called the Hollywood Boulevard Movie Theater.
Mm.
And it's got multiple screens, and it's got Hollywood memorabilia and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to see A Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey.
Ah.
And oh, my gosh. I'll just tell you one quick second about it. Basically, it's people that meet at a wedding, they wind up getting married, but they wind up walking. They say, do you want to go on a... The guy rents a car. They says, do you want to go on a journey? He says, yeah. So he meets the lady back that he met at the wedding. So they both go on this journey together, and this car sends them to places they don't know where the heck they're going. So they get to the spot, They're supposed to walk through the door that's like in the middle of nowhere. They walk to the door, through the door. Next thing you know, he's back in his past in his high school class.
Mm.
So each location, they go back to a journey of where they were in their past. It was really kind of cool.
Well, good. Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Now, you requested Lakeshore Drive, right?
Yes.
I got it coming up next.
Oh, cool. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah,
and your show is wonderful as always, but I just wanted to... Oh, and the funny thing is I have a question about it real quick. This was 5 in the evening, okay?
Yeah.
So there was like... It was 2. I get in there, and I'm waiting. I was the only one in this movie theater. Everybody else was going to see Downton Abbey, and
oh,
I was in this movie.
Now, let me ask you, how many people were going to see another movie? Was it a large crowd?
Well, it looked like, at least the people that I could see, there was maybe 15 senior citizens seeing Downton Abbey.
Okay. All right. But
somebody said, well, 1, it's Monday, and 2, it's the afternoon, early evening, so it's probably isn't a good time where a lot of people go.
You know, I don't know. I've never really done any research into that, but I would think that, in general, movies have a harder time today than ever. There's so much competition, and I know a lot of the theaters are trying things like full meals and all that kind of stuff in different settings, and yeah, I get that, but I would think that it's not easy.
Oh, yeah. I was surprised, too. I says, I'm the only one in the theater. I says, what if I'm not here? Do you play the movie? They say, well, they play the first half hour, and then if somebody doesn't show up late, they just turn it off.
Yeah.
Like, how can they make money doing this?
Well, they can't. Now, they're not making much on the ticket prices anyway. Where they're making the money is the concession stand. You know, that's when you go get an estimate on a tub of popcorn or something. But if you don't have enough foot traffic for that, I don't know. And that's what I say. I haven't really done much of a dive into what's the reality for theater owners today. And, of course, most of them are corporately owned and you know, that you're dealing with numbers, you know, big numbers, which can also change what you're having to pay for the films, you know, so there's a number, I'm sure, of machinations inside, but still, if you don't have insufficient people in the end, that is a problem. And, you know, with people who have their 75-inch TVs at home, and, you know, many of them with their own home theaters or such, though they are, you know, how many of them are going to a theater? And then you have the issue of post-COVID. A lot of people through COVID said, well, I don't know that I want to sit in a theater next to people. So I think there's a lot of things going on, and I'll have to look into that to see, because I just don't know. I'm clueless.
Well, funny thing you said that, because this movie theater, you get $2 off for senior, but then you're required to purchase something. You could either buy a drink, popcorn, a dinner, or whatever. And since I hadn't eaten, I had a dinner. But it's like, yeah, you have to buy something. So when you said, well, that's where they make the money, there you go.
It is. Believe me, with the markup in prices, they could damn near give you the tickets. Because you know that when you bought something, it was a lot higher than you would otherwise pay.
There you go. Well, thank you, Raleigh, and love your insight.
Well, and happy birthday. Happy. That's wonderful.
All right. Thank you. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593. Now, for a while, I think 66 was the age for full Social Security, but now that's morphed up to a few months and that kind of thing. You know, in my long of tooth days, you turn 65, you are in, but not anymore. So Laura's probably not yet at that full full mark. But of course, if she waits till 70, she gets the maximum benefits, though I used to advise people do that. And story on that real quickly, my good buddy Jack Armstrong, he was going to be turning 62, and we were talking. He was living in Greensboro at the time. I think I'm going to apply for Social Security. I said, you know, Jack, you take such a hit, you might want to wait until your full retirement age, which for him would have been 65. Yeah, I don't know. I just think I will now. So his birthday was in December 4th. He died in February of the next year. So he collected it for 2 months. So I thought, here's my telling him to wait. All right, so we'll get to a Bill in Southeast Wisconsin on that happy note. And Eduardo in Tampa, and room for you too on WGN Radio. Well, this is supposed to work. I'm trying to play Laura's request here. We'll give it another go. All right. What? All right, we'll try. This is haunted. I know I played it before. We'll get through this one way or another. I know this file's okay. No, the file is not okay. All right, I will figure out why it's not okay and play it later. And I guess I'm cheating you out of a bumper right now, but I will fix that later one way or another. Probably it'll be tomorrow night. I'll just redigitize the whole darn thing. All right, so with that in mind, Eduardo is in Tampa. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how's it going?
I don't know. When your equipment is fighting you, what else could go wrong?
Well, you know, I got to get your comment on this story. I don't know if you mentioned it earlier, that Secret Service bust on all that SIM card and possible spam email that would have gone out.
Yeah, I have heard that on the news because for the last, you know, all day today, they were talking about dismantling the network that could have shut it down. But I have not, other than knowing that there were five locations and there were electronic devices that absolutely could have been used to disable cell phone towers. But by the time the news came out, they said no threat. So I don't have details on, I know supposedly they had SIM servers and 100,000 cards, which is, you know, not something.
Yeah, 100,000. Yeah, 100,000 SIM cards and 300 servers.
Right, exactly. And so, but what I also thought was interesting that, yeah, partridge in a pear tree, 80 grams of coke, illegal firearms, computers. It'll be interesting to hear how this goes. But when we're hearing it after the fact and not getting any of the details, we don't know yet. I don't know yet. If you know more than that, you know more than me.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if it was connected to, because over the weekend, it was Dallas, UK, and Germany that got hacked. And it caused a backed up the line and all that.
You know, I think one of the underreported items is how fragile internet connectivity really is. And, you know, yes, there's some protections, but there's also so many ways in that, especially when you're talking about municipalities. You know, I just blush when I see some of the people who are heading IT for various counties or whatever. So I think it's one of the problems that really will come home to roost because it affects everything. Let's face it, you know, transactions and banking and all that. And I don't think we're tremendously secure. And this is without even getting into what would happen if somebody actually used a pulse bomb. You know, that doesn't happen. Fortunately, our bad actors are not that sophisticated. But yes, it would certainly be effective. And to say that nobody's ever going to do that or we'll be sure to catch it, I don't think our infrastructure is anywhere near hardened in the way it should be.
No, it doesn't look like it. I mean, you're always saying about us, I don't know, disconnected. I mean, you're always recommending, you know, use credit card and not debit card.
Oh, of course. Of course, as far as that goes. But, you know, for a pulse bomb, I mean, your credit card is going to be the worst of the least of your worries. You're not going to have power, among other things. And, you know, again, the fact that it's out there. I mean, many years ago when Ed Rendell headed the Democrat Party, a guy from Philadelphia, he actually was saying, we have to harden our infrastructure. We have to improve this. And, you know, nobody did. And there have been passing talk about it since then. But we're so wide open, it makes me blush. And so I think it is underreported. I think there's so much wrong with email and you know, various email servers and all that. That's a catastrophe waiting to happen as well. So we're in the dark ages, let's face it. You know, civilization in the world stayed the same for thousands and thousands of years. And then about the late 1700s, we started to get into some mechanization. And then, of course, all the things that happened in the 1800s and 1900s. And where we are now is uncharted territory. And the day will come when this will be laughable. But right now, you know, to us, it's a huge risk, and not only to things like our bank accounts, but also, as we've talked about, to social interaction, the way people interact with one another anymore, the way companies deal with employees, and we can go on and on and on. So this is the transition period. But you signed up to be here now, and so you know, you get to live with it. Down the road, you know, 200 years, it'll be no different than flipping the switch and expecting the light to come on.
So, yeah.
But now we're in those years where, you know, certainly technology has eclipsed wisdom. And how that will come home to roost, I don't know. But it's going to be an interesting time. I won't be here to see it, but it's going to be very interesting.
There was a movie with... I think it was that Roadhouse movie where Patrick Swayze would walk around with his medical records in his hand. It was pretty funny.
Yeah,
seeing that. I think that'd be pretty cool to do.
Well, you know, there are people, and you know, if we start getting into to chips implanted in people, oh my God, that becomes a real political hot topic. So we'll stay away from that. But what's interesting about it is there was a nightclub in Spain that this is now 20 years ago that offered free members to their membership to their elite club to anybody who would be chipped, and you wouldn't believe the people who were right online saying, "Sure, sign me up." Well, you know, okay, so we'll see, and I think those of us really long of tooth would never go for any of that. But someone young today who's used to wearing something around their neck just to get on the school bus, it's all bets are off.
Yeah, well, I get so I was working the bus game, and then at the end, everybody's trying to leave. You know, especially
yeah, of
the
course
workers.
They are. Yes.
Yeah, and I go, come on, single file, and then like these. I'm glad I didn't get hit or hit anybody, but, you know, you got people like really like rude and just like, oh, let me just get out of here and jump in front of this car. And so it was like, and it was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I think the ones given out at the concert at 12 o'clock were so much decent than these guys. These guys are like, what did you do? Like leave the stove on or something?
Well, I think your best defense on something like that is to find something you know you can do before you get in your car for a half hour or so, and don't even try to make it until everybody else has left. You know,
yeah.
Bring a sandwich or bring a computer or do something, but why get in the middle of the herd?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because all the openings, the exits. I mean, they're all like.
Well,
you know, it's the same thing if you're leaving a concert or something. I mean,
well,
oh my God,
yeah, just like when I used to fly, and of course I gave that up in 1999, not getting me on a commercial plane, but I used to be on them all the time, and I never understood it because I would just sit in my chair until almost everybody was out, and then I'd leisurely get out of the plane.
Yeah, there
absolutely.
You go. Yeah, that's the other one too. Yeah,
right. I'm just staying to the end. You know, I have no desire to be first in the terminal. You know, you guys go ahead. I'll stay here. You know, so I guess it's human nature of some sort, but I never chose to join the thundering herd.
Yeah. All right, you're coming up to the news. Hey, I'll call back again maybe tomorrow, Thursday.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, everyone. Okay, I appreciate it.
Yep. Yep.
All right, so I think we're in the news, actually. I think, yes, it was 56:30. Could I tell time? No, but I'm nothing if not predictable. We'll talk after the news on WGN Radio. Throwing caution to the wind and trying it again. Lakeshore Drive, Valley out of Haines, and Jeremiah.
There's a road I'd like to tell you about. Lives in my hometown. Lakeshore Drive, the road is called, and it'll take you up or down. From rats on up to riches, 15 minutes you can fly. Pretty blue lights along the way. Help you right on by. In the blue light shining with a heavenly grace. Help you right on by. And there ain't no road just like it anywhere I found. Running south on Lakeshore Drive, getting into town. Just slipping on by on LSD. Trouble bound.
Drive. And there's no peace of mind, the place you see, riding on Lakeshore Drive.
Give me a few minutes, I can fix anything. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, Lakeshore Drive. That's Eliana Haynes and Jeremiah, Don't You Know, LSD. And that's what Laura wanted to hear, 1973, on the Snow Queen label. Yeah, name something else on that. All right, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And Bill is in Wisconsin. What's happening tonight, Bill?
Hey, how are you tonight?
All right, how about your bad self?
Sitting outside, kind of cool.
Okay.
Enjoying the evening. I have a strange request for you.
You do, huh? What is
it? I haven't heard this song in over 10 years.
There may be a reason. What is it?
Yeah, it's called Nini Na 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 Nu Nu.
Oh, God. Yeah, all right. Well, if you insist.
That's Mickey doing the dog.
Yes, no, I am very well aware. Jerry Granahan is who it is. Yes, of course.
They also did Flip Top Box, and that's another good one.
Well, and Click Clack. I mean, we can do a whole Jerry Granahan retrospective. But yes, Dickie doing the don'ts. You know what's wrong when you've named a group after Dick Clark's kid. I guess you'll do anything to get some action on American Bandstand.
Yeah. I called last week and I was disconnected and put on hold, and I was going to do a 70s trivia and never got through.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well,
And you came on.
Yeah.
You came on and said you had a 70 question for me
and you weren't there. I'm so sorry. I'll make it up by playing Nini Nana Nunu, but call me next week and we'll are we going to do 70s charts? Is that what you like to do or what?
I like 70s TV shows.
TV? Oh, yes. Yes, I remember you. And I came up with the question. In fact,
you did.
Yeah, I did. I'm very happy with this question. So, which is rare that I do anything. But indeed, you'll have to call back next week because I think I printed it out. So I'll have it. Are you still there? No, he's disappeared again. I haven't done anything, honest. I'm just sitting here. I haven't hit a thing. Just sitting here. And Bill from Wisconsin is gone again. All right, and we don't even need hackers and people with 10,000 SIM cards. Bill, hopefully we'll have better luck next week. I don't know. It's not looking good, is it? Oh, man. All right, so junk food. Yes, I am nothing if not a junk food junkie, but most of the stuff I can't touch. However, there's nobody alive who hasn't had the occasional Hershey's Kiss. And most of us consider it just to be a milk chocolate morsel. And there is question, is Hershey's really chocolate? But that's for another discussion. They apparently are reaching out. They're reaching, all right, the Hershey's company. And they want to create international versions of the all-American popular Kiss. And so they've come out with five. And those in the culinary world are rating them as they see fit. But there was one here, Hershey's Flavors of the World Strawberry Kisses. And they're saying, filled with a strawberry-flavored cream beloved in the Middle East. What? Definitely firmer than the jelly-esque filling in Dracula Kisses. They're very good. Now, $10 for a pack? They're not that good. And so they do have Valentine's Day strawberry kisses. I don't know if they're any different or just they're available year long. Then Flavors of the World Hazelnut Kisses. Yeah, and my first comment was, who knows what the hell hazelnut is? And then there was Nutella. And you're selling this as a benefit? Well, yes. They'll, what? Oh, gotta go to break. I gotta go to break right now? Right now. I gotta go to break right now. I'm not sure why, but I'm going to break on WGN Radio. Oh, I am, aren't I? And I promised Dickie doing the dotes, didn't I? Well, you got it.
Nee, nee, na, 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 no, no.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, 1958, Swan, what else? Jerry Granahan, otherwise Dickie Doo and the Don'ts, and Nini Nana Nunu. I think it was about the fifth single they released on Swan. It's interesting. Jerry Granahan came up with Click Clack, and they decided they were going to release it as Dickie Doo and the Don'ts. There was no Don'ts. There was not even a Dickie Doo. I think his name on it was listed as Richard A. Doo. Don't kid yourself. It's Jerry Granahan. In any event, Click Clack did so well that Granahan had to find a band, and so he recruited a quartet and got a bass player and a sax player and guitar player and a drums player to back him as Dickie Doo and the Don'ts. And they did pretty well, actually. Teardrops Will Fall and all that, you know, for a couple of years. And, of course, when you're on Swan, you're on Bandstand. So there was, you know, there was a little bit of publicity involved there. And then they moved to UA. And actually, Granahan was around for quite a while. I think that he was as Dickie Doo on UA for about 5 years. And, yeah, originally he was a disc jockey, as far as that goes. And remember, under his own name, No Chemise, Please? Yeah. All right, Bill in Wisconsin is back on WGN Radio. All right, Bill.
Hello again.
Yes, all right. So you heard your Dickie doing the Don'ts.
I did. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure.
I got disconnected again.
I know. Actually, not only did you get disconnected, I had to reboot the entire phone system and the device that actually is the hybrid that allows for calls to exist on the air. And, you know, the day is going to come when I spontaneously combust in this chair. Because being, you know, of these radio stations, being the chief engineer and the IT person in addition to everything else, when things go wrong, there's a cavalcade of things that go wrong. And I have had such a laundry list of things that went wrong that I didn't even bother to go to sleep last night. So that tells you how I'm doing. I'm looking forward to going to sleep tonight, but there's a few problems I got to fix beforehand. At least I got Lakeshore Drive on the air. That's something.
There you go. That was another good one. I just wanted to let you know, too, that I can call back next week for the 70s trivia.
Yes, good. Monday.
I used to live in Arizona. I lived in Mesa for 6 years.
I know Mesa very well. Whereabouts in Mesa?
Real close to Power Road and University.
Oh, okay. I know exactly where that is. Yeah, all
there's
right.
There's a retirement community.
Yeah, well, there's a Leisure World there, I know, and others. But
this was a little west of that Leisure World part.
Yeah, yeah, not far from the
55 and over.
Not far from the Superstition Springs Mall.
Right. Yeah. And I used to spend a lot of time in Apache Junction at the Hitchin Post.
Okay, and I know just where that is. And boy, when's the last time you've seen when's the last time you've seen Apache Junction?
It was 6 years ago.
In the last 6 years, it's grown exponentially.
Yeah, and I got to see some bands there.
Sure.
I got to meet the guys from Dukes of Hazzard. Got to see the Bellamy Brothers play.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, the Hitchin Post Saloon. Yep, absolutely.
I worked at
Decent Pizza, by the way, I might add.
Oh, definitely. Yeah,
right on Apache Trail. So you worked you worked at Circle K?
Yes, I did.
Which one?
At Power Road and McDowell.
Oh, okay. Well, I might have bought gas from you.
I did. I also worked at University in Power, but they closed that one and turned it into a Burger King.
Yeah, yeah, that was something. Exactly. Yeah, boy. All right. Uh-huh. Good deal. Well, it's all still here when you're ready to come back.
Yeah, I'll probably be coming back probably next summer for a visit.
Summer? No. Arizona, you come in winter.
No, I like the heat.
You really do? You're the one? We found you? Wow.
I did. When I worked at Circle K, I lived, it was like 5 miles away, and I rode a bicycle back and forth to work every day. It was 120 degrees out, and I was fine with that.
You know, I see these people. I always wondered who they were. Now I know. Amazing. All right, Bill.
There you go.
Yeah, I go from my air-conditioned house to my air-conditioned car and bitch if the walk is more than 10 feet. All right. Thanks. I appreciate the call.
Okay, we'll
talk to you
back
Monday night.
Week.
I'm counting on it. Okay, thanks.
All right.
So yeah, I don't know exactly why the phones imploded, other than just to keep me on my toes. Yeah, I've had some equipment, you know, ATSs and PDUs and UPSs, in case you didn't know what I'm talking about. And they're supposed to phone home, you know, when there are faults or problems and all that. And most do, but a couple don't. And I've been going crazy with that. So while I've been on the air talking to you, I've been trying other email machinations, because on paper, it's the same input for every last one of them, down, you know, to completely the same. The results are different. Oh, why should I be surprised? Laura in Willowbrook, welcome back to WGN.
Well, Riley, thank you for your persistence in fixing it.
Yes.
I heard the Lakeshore Drive. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It made my day.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Yes, well, I was determined there was at least something I could fix today. So far, it's the only thing. But, oh, of course, the phones are back, so all right. Yes,
well,
good.
Thank goodness for that.
All right. Thanks for calling back.
All right, have a good night.
Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, and Ralph is in Beloit. What's up tonight, Ralph?
Yes. Hello, Raleigh. Yeah. And I have something more sunny for you.
Okay.
Yeah, and the thing is here that Spain was mentioned three times on your show tonight, and two things in Spain were mentioned by name. One was Barcelona.
Right.
And one was Mallorca.
Right.
And I wanted to let you know, after last night, I was so impressed with your show that I made a resolution just to call you when I have something nice to contribute to your show.
Well, great.
Okay,
great.
And so I wanted to let you know that I lived in Barcelona quite some time, as well as on Mallorca.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, I lived in Barcelona for about 6 months and a little longer, and Barcelona is right what they call the Costa Brava.
Right.
The wild coast, when you go a little bit towards the Mediterranean. And
right.
Then the best time I had of my life, I lived several years on the island of Mallorca.
Oh, yeah. No, that's right. Yeah, Palma and places like that. Yes.
Yeah, Palma. Well, Palma is, of course, the main town
right.
on Mallorca. But there is, I really loved the Mediterranean Sea and
yeah.
the Mediterranean diet, of course. And I also loved the island inside.
Wow. All right. Yeah.
Very nice. Quiet. Yeah. Quiet. Yeah. And and you even mentioned Spain in your show tonight. You said there was, you said something about a restaurant in Spain.
Oh, yes. Yes. Years ago. That's right. That gave everybody members to the VIP club if they were willing
yeah.
to chip their hands. And they had people lining up willing to do it.
Yeah. Right. Was that in, do you know the city there? Or?
You know, it's been at least 20, 25 years.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It was early on. It was early on when they were first talking about chip technology. And, you know, everybody was having
mm-hmm.
those fights about how it would invade your privacy
yeah.
and other people saying it was the mark of the beast and on and on.
Yeah.
So the Spain nightclub
yeah.
did this promotion and people were lined up. You know, for, and this is a long time ago. I'm not sure. I can probably, mm-hmm. Probably find it, because since then they've done it in the States, but, but Barcelona has done it. There was a, I
yep.
think it was the Baja Beach Club in Barcelona. They
oh,
did it.
Yeah.
And anybody who signed up for VIP membership had a choice between an RFID chip or a normal VIP
yeah.
card. And
uh-huh.
yeah, so that was one in Barcelona for sure, the Baja Beach Club.
Yeah. Oh yeah, well that's very interesting. You know, I was a big fan of the eastern coast of Spain. You go from Barcelona down to Valencia,
right?
Yeah. And Valencia is the what they call the across the White Coast.
Right.
And then after you pass through Valencia, which is a very wonderful town, I believe it or not, I was there when Franco was still the dictator of Spain.
Okay, okay. Yeah, and, about the third largest city, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's known for its oranges.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Valencia, I tell you one thing, when Franco, I mean, one may think about these things as one wished, but I tell you one thing, you were able to sleep at night. The Spaniards and everybody slept outside of the hotel when it was warm, and they had beautiful lounges there, and you could stay all night and sleep, and nothing ever would happen to you.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that was wonderful. And then, of course, you go down from there, you go down to the Costa del Sol.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's really, you know, that...
Here, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. Yeah. And that's where we'll pick it up after the news, right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. If you remember, 1966, that song was big, and it has a big Spanish contingency to it. It's interesting because it was two groups that kind of formed separately and came together, Los Sonar from Madrid and the Runaways, who were from Mallorca, since we were talking about Mallorca. But what's interesting is the lead singer was actually from Germany, Mike Kogel. He later went solo as Mike Kennedy. But yeah, German lead singer in an amalgamation of a Madrid and Mallorca band, and lead singer sounds a lot like Gene Pitney, don't you think? In any event, Black is Black was huge. It was number one in Canada and number two in the UK and number four here, over a million copies. And you're saying, was there a follow-up? Well, sort of, but you don't want to know about it. It's like that all the way around. And like I say, Kogel wound up as a solo act. Nothing happened there. It finally came together, but it was not good. One of the guys committed suicide, and another one died in a motorcycle accident, but that was later. All right, but I played that because Ralph and I were talking about Spain, and I thought, oh, Mallorca, Los Bravos, there you go.
Yeah, well, that was Los Bravos, and you, like you said, he changed his name to Kennedy.
Right, exactly.
And, in 1991, believe it or not, that's quite a coincidence, I didn't meet him personally, but he was on Mallorca when I was there, and a friend of mine had a bar there. He was a great musician from Austria. And Mike Kennedy, he told me that Mike Kennedy had come to him and was looking for work.
I betcha. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah,
so that was quite a coincidence. But I tell you one thing about coincidences here, that must have been ESP, because about just before midnight, I'll tell you one thing, time goes incredibly fast when you do your show. So I was, believe it or not, I was thinking about Norman Whitfield.
Oh, yeah.
And I wrote that Car Wash title down before you played it.
Oh, that's great, yeah.
Yeah, isn't that a coincidence?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I bet you that was Rolls Royce, and I bet you too, this Car Wash is a Norman Whitfield composition.
Yes, absolutely, and you can tell it. It sounds it, yes, and it was Lisa who requested Car Wash, so I'm happy to play it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he liked that hand clapping.
Right, and you know, it really makes that record. It absolutely makes it. They did a great job of that, and they were an L.A. group. And and originally on Whitfield Records and then on Epic.
Yeah, he was, of course, like we talked about yesterday, Whitfield wrote all the biggest hit from 69 to 72 right. for the Temptations.
Right, all that psychedelic soul.
Well, I didn't know it was psychedelic. I thought it was more social.
Yeah, you know, no, but that's what they used to call it. You know, and it's tough because, of course, Motown was navigating a lot of different years in the 60s in terms of musical tastes and everything else. And the fact that they stayed intact and prospered, good for them.
Yeah. Oh, well, that was good for Berry Gordy.
He's a multimillionaire, of course. Better for Berry than anybody else. The only guy who got a real good shake out of that was Smokey.
Yeah, Smokey, well, of course, that was his favorite. He made Smokey, Smokey is called by his friends, he's called Smoke, you know.
Yeah,
so
right.
Smokey, and he liked Smokey so much that he made him the vice president.
Right. Yeah, they go way back. They go back to when Berry was working on the car assembly line.
Yeah, and he was working in Detroit on the assembly line.
Yep. That's it.
That's
why he always took that Ford car speaker in the studio and mixed everything down to sound good on it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and they say that he founded Motown. You know, Motown was called Hitsville, USA.
Well, originally, of course, Motown, the label, the imprint, didn't come out at first. And, of course, Berry Gordy had hits that he had written or produced on UA and a couple other labels as well. So by the time he formed that corporation, he was no stranger to this. So sure.
No. They say he founded Motown. He got $1,000 from his parents who had a grocery store in Detroit.
Right. Absolutely. But, you know, he goes back, he was born in 1929. So he, wound up going through a lot of different periods musically and, always surviving them. And, it's interesting because his grandfather was the son of a plantation owner in Georgia. There's a lot of different blood in that family. And, of course, you know, what really allowed him to get into Motown was the profits he was making from songwriting and producing. So, he wrote Reet Petit for, you know, as far as that goes, Jackie Wilson. And he thought Jackie Wilson was the best male singer he'd ever heard. And Lonely Teardrops, and All I Could Do Was Cry were his relatives. Yeah, of course.
Higher and Higher was a big hit. Higher and Higher.
Yeah.
Your love has lifted me higher and higher.
Well, right. So that has a real Chicago connection too, because sadly he's no longer with us. But Renard Minor co-wrote Fly Higher and Higher. Hey. And sorry that he's gone. He used to call the show regularly. And died last year. We're real sorry to hear that. But in any event, I'm going to see if I can get somebody else on the phone here, and you call me again soon.
Yeah, I'll call you again as soon as I have something to contribute.
Sounds good. I'll look forward to it. Thanks.
Okay. Well, thank you. I do too. Thank you.
All right. So 888-876-5593. Kimberly is in Dalton. Kimberly, how are you doing?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
All right. What's happening?
Well, I'm here with my mom, Jean. You remember maybe Jean?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Hi.
So how are you?
And we were...
You both feeling okay?
Well, no, we didn't get the best news today. Part of her operation didn't take, so we're probably back to going through a catheter again.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. That's
sad, but you know, considering it's not the end of the world, it's not what we'd like to happen, but it's not the end of the world.
Thank you. Well, yeah, you're right. And she'll say hi in a minute, but we wanted to say one thing. One time a while back, you had a Ruth call that talked about asking about my mom.
Yeah.
And she wasn't from Dalton, so she didn't go to church where she had at the church she mentioned.
Okay.
She was from Midlothian, but so many towns went to Thornton High School.
Yeah.
And she had brought up high school, so she that's where she was from. She went to St. Christopher's Church because that's what Ruth brought up that night. And then the other thing I was asking is we were trying to think of a song today. It was my daughter that thought of the title, But Beautiful, and I don't know if you have that to play, but at any rate, if you do, it'd be nice to
okay.
hear.
But Beautiful, who did it?
Hi, how you doing?
All right, now how are you doing? How are you holding up?
Oh, I have to, right?
Yeah.
I got the worst news ever today by the old guy at oncologist, and now the heart doctor, and I'm going to have the wound care doctor, and but I got the best there is, and I have hope, but you know what? I'm 91 years old,
right.
And I faced a lot in my life, and I'm here. I'm talking to you.
Yes, yes, you are. No, I mean, you're sounding great.
My grandson will be born on December 6th.
Yay.
If I make it to then, and the doctors are hoping, they gave me a lot of hope.
Good.
And I had it. And, but my beautiful niece that was born with infantile arthritis back in 1958, she passed away yesterday.
Oh, I'm
and
so
awake,
sorry.
A 2-hour wake in the morning. And I'm praying I can make it because with my condition, I can't sit well, can't do nothing well, and they're wanting to put that catheter in.
Yeah.
So I have to face that again, and she never thought I would. But the first doctor, the first Euro one that I won't mention the hospital, but she had cut off part of the urethra.
Uh-oh.
I was cutting off the urethra when they put the sling and the uterus back in me in the operation room. They thought that everything would be all right with the urethra. Well, it isn't. And that's where my problem is.
I'm so sorry.
It's one of those things in life. I have this to face in the morning, and she has a sister that's living, and she is bad shape too, and I'm concerned about her. Tammy and Tiny, Tani, and Tani passed, and she got to be 67 years old, just the 1st of February. She was living, of course, in a handicap up in Rolling Meadows here in Illinois, and she made it many years, and my husband and her, they had a great rapport. And many good things that happened. They loved the music together, their little jokes together, they were great. They were just beautiful together, and those are beautiful memories.
Of course. And you know, with somebody who's born with juvenile RA and all that, at this point, it's sort of like hallelujah. She is out of pain and she is free.
Yes.
And I truly believe that, you know, she's so glad to be on the other side. She's like, hey, I'm not going back there. Good for her.
You're right. I'll tell Tammy that in
yes.
the morning.
Yes, by all means, I promise you, she's free of the pain, and that alone is glorious.
Right. You're right on there, because all day I was thinking that her beautiful angels are having her, and she's enjoying it because she deserves it. She really, just her bones, the crumbling of them and the pain she had.
Yeah.
You would never know that, it was inhuman. Let's put it that way.
Right.
And every day of her life.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to keep somebody alive unnecessarily. And the reality is that she is in a better place, and the people who are hurting are people like yourself and those who miss her and all that. But she is not. So we'll celebrate that.
I will tell Tammy that in the morning
because
she needs it. She lost her husband, and I went through that when she lost him because she didn't get married till her later years.
Yeah.
And she was the Cook County nurse here, and she was strong. But when her husband died, it was devastating, and then she was still taking care of Tammy because, of course, my sister would be 100, and I don't know what by now. Yeah. But anyway, the thing is, she was a good caretaker, and I told her, just be strong.
Right.
And I said, you know what? It runs in our family and also your other side of your family, and we're strong women. And I said, you keep going on. And she says, well, She said, I got a pit bull. And she said, well, says, nobody will bother you.
No, that's great. But yeah, the more you're around her, the better, because after being a caregiver all that time, she needs a reason to get up every day and try to find her one.
I know, just talking to her, it was just horrible yesterday.
Of course it is.
She kept crying, and it was hard to reach her, but I finally did. And I told her, I said, you know, I didn't want to tell her my news, and I said, I'm going to get there. It'll be a short while, because I have to go see other doctors, but I'm going to get there for a short while. So, and I said, I have the one bouquet of flowers that I'm sending. I says, just please. You know, hurts her colors, pink and the blue. And I says, make sure you put it on the casket because, you know, for our old times, I took care of her a lot when she was little.
Sure.
And before she got in the home, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, life goes on.
Well, it does. And I predict you're going to be fine. This is an inconvenience and it's sad life did this, but you will triumph. And with a reason to live, like welcoming your grandchild, that'll keep you going.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to see Elizabeth's little one because, you know, she's 42. And, you know, with my mother having a stroke at that same age, you know, it was devastating back in the day in 1943, you know. So I lived with that, and I just wish it wasn't that number. And I don't want to tell her that, you know. But
No. You don't want to share that at all. Yeah. But, you know, we'll pray it will be fine, and we'll pray you're fine to see it.
That's what I'm hoping. That's what the heart doctor said. That's why. He says, I'm giving the okay for you to have the operation back in July.
Right.
He said, because you want that. He says, you want quality of life. I says, I sure do.
Yeah.
And so he pushed me on. Otherwise, I never would have been able to have the operation. So I had a great heart doctor and my urogynecologist that I found. I'm very happy with her. She keeps calling me, texting my daughter. And I'll tell you, she must have, between surgeries, she just kept having messages for me, what I should do and how to do it and everything. Yeah. So I'm hoping.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, miracles have happened, and I don't give up hope.
Oh, yes. I believe that. And for you, too.
Right.
You lost your best friend, and I've had so many losses, you know, with eight brothers and sisters. They're all gone, and their husbands, wives all gone, and now their children are passing off pretty quickly.
So, yeah.
You know, I've had a long life. When I think about it, and I'm the last one here, and I'll tell you, we'll be the last one from her immediate family there, too. So it's a rough go. I have to think about the young, you know.
Sure.
It's not a good thing, you know, when my grandson had his little girl. He's only got the one, was born with bladder cancer.
Yeah.
They fixed her up back, you know, and she's now in Europe on a study program. She graduated.
Perfect.
So from high school, and she has, of course, you know, they took her intestines and made the bladder. So she has a catheter, and she's traveling all over the world.
Right. People do. Absolutely.
You know, not too many people could do that.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely a matter of mind over matter on something like this. It's all about attitude, and you're going to be fine.
Well, thank you. And I wish you the best, too, because you're a great woman to be out there with. You've soothed so many people, and you have a soothing way about you, and that's, you know, not everyone has that. And you're a pleasure. There's so much in the world today, and we need people like you and, you know, the young people coming up that just have to have understanding how the world, how we made it, you know?
You know,
lost a lot of people in World War II and the Korean War and the Vietnam.
Yeah.
And I had people in all of them. But we made that world for them to have it so free today. But there's so much to, you know, to understand the freedom that we have.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
We have to have things behind it. And I don't care what you are, what faith you are. My grandson is married to a girl from Cambodia. Now, he's very, very Catholic with the Knights of Columbus and all the things in the Catholic Church and everything. But she is Buddhist.
Okay.
And believe me, they get along well. And, yes, that was his second marriage, And she, you know, it works.
Right. It's about respecting each other, respecting and loving each other. It's perfectly fine. Absolutely.
You're right. Well, and he's the one that's picking us up in the morning. So
good.
I have to tell you that, you know, I heard that song, beautiful, and I called Elizabeth. You know, she's back in New York. And, and I said, Elizabeth, there's a song, and I was trying to tell her a few words that I remembered. And she said right away, oh, Grandma, that's by Beautiful. I says, oh.
Yeah, well, I'll play the Tony Bennett version for you. That's the stellar version. I'll play that next for you. And I'm so glad you called. I've been wondering how you're doing, and I'm glad Kimberly called, too, and I hope you will again soon.
I hope so, too.
Okay,
hope so, too. Well, Thursday, with all those doctors on my back and all the tests, I hope there's a little bit there that maybe I'll be able to tell you.
Yeah, well, we're going to keep a good thought for that, and I want you to let me know.
Oh, and you too.
All right.
And I wish you the best because you give so much,
and we all
need you.
All right, thanks. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it. All right.
Thank
so,
you. And also, have you say good night to my father. Yeah.
Good night, Raleigh.
Okay, bye, Kimberly. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, with that attitude, she's going to be fine. And we'll all hear about it. We'll hear about Jim next, but in between, we'll hear this, and then we'll hear about Beautiful on WGN Radio.
Or it's sad, or it's quiet, or it's mad. It's a good thing, or it's bad, but beautiful, beautiful to take a chance, and if you fall, you fall. And I'm thinking I wouldn't mind at all. Love is tearful or it's gay. It's a problem or it's play. It's a heartache either way, but beautiful.
And apologies to Jim. I just realized we're off the air. Jim, call me right at the start of the show tomorrow. We will talk. And we thank Bob for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. So we'll do it again 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.